So how long did you stay in Odessa?
About 6 months. But then, after I was discharged out in Santa Ana, California, a little story I want to put in there. My Uncle Ralph was also an optometrist. He was in World War I, and he was in charge of one of the French 75 guns, and he had terrible arthritis. So he lived in Los Angeles. So when I went out to get discharged, of course, I went to see him. And we were sitting around there and talking about future stuff. And I remember telling him that it won't be very long before we'll land, before we take off in an airplane. And he just thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard of. How in the world can you land before you take off? Well, in time, that's what we do almost all the time now. If we go someplace, we go across the timelines. And so we do land before we actually take off in time. I wanted to put that in there for Uncle Ralph.
So you're with your father for about 6 months in Marshall.
Right, and then we looked around all that time. I looked around for places to go, where to open up a practice. I picked out Mexico here, and I came down and I found an office upstairs in a building. I tried to stay up with every new thing that came on, and every day I would change the routine that we had. There were basically, optometry at that time had 21 specific tests. From those tests, you could derive a prescription of lenses that was gave the best functional comfort, seeability, information processing, and all that kind of thing. Were those 21 points. Yeah, I tried it for about 6 months, and just doing the same thing over and over and over again for each patient that came in, boy, that got old pretty fast. So I decided that I would change something every day, and I would write down what I was going to do that day. And in doing so, I became very interested in how a human being does see, and how does he understand what he sees. How big is it? How far is it? Will I get there before it does? Will it eat me? Will I eat it on a survival basis? Because that's what we were doing. I made tests up. After a while, I would make my own tests. It got so that the fitting a lens was no problem at all. But what it did to the person, how it increased their activities, whatever they were doing. And then it got to the place where I took on children who were slow readers, slow learners. That opened up a whole field of new information. So I was really having fun. At the same time, I have built a big practice. I didn't want a big practice, but I got one anyway. And I think it was because I just didn't do the same thing every time.
One of the things I think you told me before is that you were the first person to fit contact lenses?
Yes, I was. Wesley and Jessen were two optometrists in Chicago, just 2 years ahead of me. So they were out going when I went into flying. And they had established a contact lens laboratory in Kansas someplace. And they found out that they could take a piece of plastic and put it on the cornea. Until that, all the contact lenses were glass, and they were great big things, and they rode out on the sclera, on the white of the eye. Well, when I came to town, nobody around this whole area knew a thing about it. And so I took off and went and looked up Wesley and Jessen, and they had just found out, that they could touch the cornea without the guy screaming. The cornea of the eye is one of the most sensitive spots in the body. You just can't touch it. If you try to touch it, you might hit it, but most of the time you can't, because you'll blink your eyes and all that. So they found out that they could put a piece of plastic on it. So they got some old bomber noses out in Kansas, they had Wichita, and they got some new plexiglass, and they set up dental tools. they turned some round little lenses, and they were playing around with it, and one of the guys accidentally got it on his cornea. As long as he kept his eye open without blinking, he was comfortable. He said it was just great. Didn't know it was there. But the second he blinked, boy, the edges of those pieces of plastic about set them on wild. And they had an awful time getting it off because they didn't have any little bumpers or little suction cups and all that thing that came on later. So I came home. Then that next day, there was a girl from Centralia, and she was the most nearsighted person I had ever seen. She was terribly nearsighted.